Hi, my name is Robin McCormick, and I am the Girls FCA Lacrosse Club Director. This podcast is about all things LAX. We wanted to bring you authentic, fresh, and inspiring information from coaches, players, and others in the lacrosse world, giving you the best up-to-date information in the game of lacrosse as it is evolving quickly. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. My name is Robin McCormick, and I am the Girls FCA Club Lacrosse Director. Welcome to our podcast, All Things LAX with FCA Girls. I'm excited to introduce our guest today, FCA 2028 coach Tatum Joyce. Tatum has an amazing story about resilience, humility, perseverance, the journey of an athlete through injury. A little bit about Tatum. Tatum has been part of our 28 FCA coaching staff for the last 4 years. She was an all-star high school athlete, three-sport athlete in high school, recruited to play lacrosse for Coastal Carolina her junior year. Senior year of high school, tore her ACL playing basketball. Entered Coastal Carolina and the COVID pandemic hit. Missed freshman year due to COVID. Started back to play after ACL healing and then received a career-ending concussion. Tatum just graduated last week from Towson University. Super excited to have Tatum on with us today to share her story and testimony, which is God's story through her. So welcome, Tatum.
Thank you so much for coming on.
And you know, congratulations. I know you did just graduate literally last week. How does it feel? How does that feel?
It feels good. It feels definitely good. It was long overdue, but it feels good. Now I'm like, what's next, you know?
Right. So praying about what's next. I know that's kind of, you know, going from, you know, a student to the real world, that can be quite a transition. So little by little, God will show you. Well, thank you again for being on. And, you know, I think so many people listening to this podcast or out there right now have or are dealing with injury. It is almost a pandemic itself that there is so much injury that we're hearing day to day, the ACL injuries, knee injuries altogether, back. I mean, it's just, I feel like every day I hear about somebody else who's had an injury. And my heart has always gone out because it's, you know, and Dr. Will have talked, and I talked about this on the podcast last with her about how it's not only physical, but it's quite an emotional toll that takes place. And I've wanted you to share your story for so long because, you know, not only were you dealing with that, but you were also going through the process of the COVID pandemic.
Right.
So before we dive into all that, I just want to, you know, you have been a coach with us for FCA for the last 4 years. Is that correct? Am I 4 years?
Yeah, just about.
And so while you were a student at Towson, you were kind of coaching with us. How has FCA impacted your life, would you say?
Yeah, so FCA has really given me a platform to not only continue to be in the game still, like the sport that I love. Obviously not being able to play anymore, it's kind of rebirthed that love for my just sport in general. And I love working with girls who don't know the full sport yet. So it's been really awesome of like teaching them all the little tiny logistics. Obviously they have the basics down by the age of 6th, 7th grade. So it's been great to develop the game for them and to be active in the sport still.
Yeah, well, this 28 team is quite a dynamic team. They're doing really well in the club world, and now they are freshmen, a lot of them playing at all different schools, but you've been with them since they were 5th, 6th, you know, kind of walking them through, so becoming young ladies. Well, just a little bit, and, you know, we mentioned your injury, your ACL, and then we mentioned the career-ending, you know, concussions. What was that exactly? Like how did that career kind of come to an end?
Yeah. So it wasn't the ACL. Obviously that definitely hurt my journey of lacrosse, but I got four concussions previous to going to college. Two of them were when I was young, like 12, 10 years old. And then I had one in high school from lacrosse, a check to the head. And then I had another one in basketball. I think it was like my freshman year or something. So, concussions are nothing to mess with, obviously. And when you get one, you're more susceptible to getting another one, and they just get progressively worse. And it was the same doctor who diagnosed my previous four. So when I got that fifth one at Coastal my sophomore year, I called him, and he was like, you could go through the process of like continuing. We'll take stronger regards to like safety and equipment and helmets and stuff. But me and my parents kind of decided that two more years of lacrosse wasn't really worth the risk of permanent brain damage. And, it was just a thing for my health over my priorities of my social life and my aspirations for my lacrosse career.
Well, I think anyone listening, I mean, we have on our 26 team someone who just had the same situation. And I was excited that you were going to be on because I wanted her to be able to hear your story. Because, as she expressed in her text to our coaching staff about just what a hard decision. I mean, you're playing, we're going to talk here about your youth and how you grew up in the sport, but you're playing for most of your youth life, and then all of a sudden it just changes. So, well, we will get more into that. How did you start? I think, what was your experience as a young athlete? What age did you start? Who did you play for? That kind of thing. What was your youth lacrosse life like?
Yeah, so from the ripe age of five, my parents threw a lacrosse stick in my hand. I have a sister who's 3 years older, and she was already playing, and my mom was coaching her for a travel league. It was Parkville Lochraven, or at the time, I think it was just Parkville. We were practicing at Honeygow, and I was practicing with her because at that age, you can play up with people who are 2, 3, 4 years older than you. So it was just easy for my mom to be coaching both of us at the same time. And her and I were playing for about 3 years together until that age where I couldn't play up anymore. And I started to play for Parkville still, but just at my own age group. And then it transitioned slowly into wanting to play club because I, at the age of 10, probably realized that this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to play Division One lacrosse. And travel is great and all. Like, it's a great transition into club, but club is where you make that decision of like ultimately wanting to continue lacrosse for the rest of your life or for the rest of your collegiate career, I guess. And so I started to play for Loonies, and that was when they were kind of freshly starting. And I played there for about a year, maybe two. I'm kind of blanking on the time frame of that. But then I transitioned into playing at Coppermine, and I played at Coppermine from my freshman year all the way up until my junior year after I committed.
And was like at that time the club scene kind of new. You were, I guess you entered it middle school ages.
And so at that point, there was no real restrictions against like the collegiate aspect of it. Like, coaches were allowed to talk to you. September 1st wasn't a thing. There was a lot of girls my age that were like verbally committing, maybe like their eighth grade freshman year. So it was just a crazy scene in general. But it was definitely different in the aspect of like I was kind of thinking about college way earlier than most girls at this age should now. So that was a little tough at first, but
Yeah, I can't
adjust.
imagine. Sorry. I can't imagine, being in eighth grade. I mean, I'm looking at my ninth grader now and kind of, gearing them towards the next steps. And it's like you're such a,
A baby.
a baby essentially when you're in eighth grade. But you're absolutely right. There was no standard around that. And I guess they put that in place to eventually protect kids, but also coaches. It was like too much looking at too big of a pool from probably eighth grade to like 10th grade kids all at the same time. So yeah, you can see kind of the evolution of that. With, being in youth, you mentioned your mom played at Towson, and she was your coach for rec. What would you say, and I think this is important for a lot of kids playing now is the influence and support to which their parents provide. And what would you say, you know, just kind of overall, like your experience in youth lacrosse and just as you were being raised, what was the influence that your parents had on you? What were they saying to you, you know?
Right. So I'm always a big stickler about like at homework. At homework is huge. Obviously, practice goes a long way, but once you make that decision that you want to be great at not only lacrosse, but anything in general, you have to put the time and effort in on your own. And at that age, I didn't. Obviously, I wanted to go and hang out with my friends and stuff, but my parents were big sticklers about like getting on the wall outside. And obviously, with my parents both being athletes their whole life and my mom playing Division I lacrosse, I wanted to be just like them. And I wanted to make them happy while making myself happy. So I wanted to thrive to be great. And they were definitely my motivation factors of wanting to be better at the sport that I loved so much. So obviously, having my mom as a coach was great at times and hard at times, you know, being the coach's daughter isn't always great, but it was a lot of fun, especially having, you know, my sister playing with me for a while, and getting to see like my other friends that were close to me, like being developed through my mom, coaching them and like teaching them the very basics of the sport and how to cradle and how to scoop a ground ball and the follow through and your shots and stuff like that. So it's been really great having them too. They are definitely the reason why I've loved sports for so long. I also think that kids being in sports helps their mental and helps their physical and gets them out of the house and gets them motivated to be good at something. So I owe it all to them, really.
That's great. So overall, you would say it was positive.
It was positive.
Little push, you know, to get doing things at home and staying disciplined. You know, your dad was a baseball player. So, and then, you know, he comes from Syracuse, where his brothers played at Syracuse and your uncle played, you know, with the Gate Brothers at Syracuse. So big lacrosse family. And the importance of sport was very eminent in your home.
Right.
Yeah. Which I think, you know, I think that's a lot of the case. And so it could either, you know, and our parent influence could either border pushing them too far because maybe we want to them, our kids to be the athlete we never could be, or maybe because we played at such a high level, intense level, we pushed too hard. But there is that just fine balance of, you know, that you think back, I'm sure you think back now, even Tatum, and your parent influence of in the sport is huge impact on your life. So just all parents listening, I just feel like always assessing where you are in that process and how are you positively influencing your kiddo. Or maybe they do need the push. They do need to, like, if they're serious and you can see far ahead as to where they're going to be in college, or if they're serious about playing at a high level. I know with my kids, I remind them, we talk about that. Like, this is your goal. Then these are the things that you need to apply and kind of take yourself and push yourself and discipline yourself to do. So it's good for parents to push too. A fine balance.
Right.
Well, thank you for that. So anything else like about club world? So you played with Coppermine for three?
About 3 years, yeah.
About 3 years. And they like, you know, developing like friendships, relationships. How was the club? How did the club life impact you?
Yeah, so the club itself did a really great job of getting us seen and getting us prepared for like the collegiate aspect of it all. Like they did a really great job of setting us up with other connections of, I think Johns Hopkins was a big one because Janine Tucker and John Tucker were helping to introduce the program and grow the program. And so it was a great introduction to what college life would be. And they definitely prepared us for that with like the training and the endurance and the conditioning and all that. It was really great. And we got into tournaments that we were put in a position to be seen by those colleges. They did a really great job of like pushing us out there and making themselves like a big program like they are now. When Coppermine just freshly started, probably a year before I got there. And so it was great to see like a club work from the bottom up into the big thing that they are now and all of the facilities and stuff that they own, you know?
That's right. And so back when you started, FCA Girls wasn't a thing, and we were working behind the scenes to get it to be a thing. And you've kind of been on coaching staff to see us grow this from the bottom up. And this is our 7th year running the club program. So it's exciting to see. And then, having our 26s be our recruiting class coming through, first one, and just like how cool that evolution is in the growth of club sports. High school and recruiting process, just a little overview of that. I know it's kind of changing even now, but like, how was that for you? Who was your biggest role models in at that time helping you? And just overall, how did you feel about the process?
So I really dreaded the process, obviously, because it started so young for me at the age of I was 13, 14, thinking about where I wanted to go to college. And I feel like that's not an age where I even know what I want to do or where I want to be in the next 7 years, you know? So it was definitely a hard process for me because I was kind of forced to grow up a little bit more than I wanted to at that age. My biggest role models were definitely my high school like my Loch Raven High School coach, Robert Persing. He also played with my uncles at Syracuse, or my uncle, one of them. And so he was like a really big motivation factor for me. Coming in freshman year, he gave me all the confidence that I needed. My older sister was also on the team at the time, and he put him or her and I as captains freshman year because he kind of found the confidence that I didn't have in myself. And so he was definitely like a big factor of helping me grow that confidence and know that I wanted to be recruited and I wanted to be seen. And he definitely helped. The recruiting process is hard, especially when you're playing in club and going to different tournaments and stuff. And from my experience, it was hard because everybody kind of wanted to be seen. And so it kind of turned into a more self-playing game than a team aspect of it. So that one I kind of dreaded some tournaments and everything because we know that we would be seen, and so everybody wants to play individually, which was hard. But I ended up liking it a lot more, especially after I committed. It became more freeing again. I fell in love with the sport again. I didn't fall out of love, but it was hard. And then sending out all the emails, like 50 emails to coaches, like here's my tournament. This is where we're going to be. This is the times that we're playing and who we're playing. That was like a rinse and repeat every week of sending emails, 50 emails out to 50 different coaches. So that aspect I definitely dreaded a lot, but it became easy in the long run, and my mom helped a huge bit with that. But yeah, it was something that I didn't particularly love, and I think it's hard for everybody. And there were some disappointments here and there, but it ended up being okay.
Do you think, and I think about this too, like as my junior just went through the process, and I can't imagine doing it at the age of, or pushing my 8-year-old to do all those emails. Do you think like that process, like being consistent and communicating, helped you like in your classes with your teacher? Like, do you think that brought out a certain like I can be seen and I can promote myself and commun, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely great because I had to learn to be wordy. Like I had to have like a professional introduction to myself, and I had to present myself as I want to be seen in the professional world. I mean, this was my profession at the time, you know? So it helped me like develop a sense of like advocating for myself, and it did help in schools. It helped me stick up for myself, I guess, and like know my self-worth, I guess. It definitely did help me in the logistics of learning how to speak to people that are older than me and like have a professional aspect on, addressing them back and forth. So that definitely helped a lot too.
Yeah, I kind of like pointing that out because I feel like in our modern world and with social media, we tend to hide behind, I think this next group coming through age-wise, it's just putting yourself out there, shaking hands, looking people in the eye, doing things that like you kind of have to do through the recruiting process. Be persistent, put yourself out there, advocate, like you said, rinse and repeat, like you are it's a grind at some point, but it's managing that. And then like I would hope that kids know that this is not for nothing. That's God will use it, like you said, like in school, like when you communicate with teachers or advocate for yourself, which is a huge thing. I think advocating for ourselves is such a lesson to be learned. Well, thank you. I also, I love how you pointed out like about your coach and how he saw in you something that maybe you couldn't even see yourself. I love that. I wish any coaches listening, like taking kids, young adults, and they're dealing with self-esteem as it is, like kind of looking in and taking the gold and then empowering them that they can be more than they ever thought they could be. I think that's probably the greatest coaching gift you could ever give them. And I know we're going to mess up and our kids are going to make mistakes and things, but it's fine to review that, but then also bring out that gold in these kids. I think that you had that opportunity in your coach, and that was probably such a blessing. And then yeah, I think through the recruiting process, there's a lot of pressure. I know with our juniors this year, last summer, I know these kids, like I had been coaching them since fourth grade, and watching the pressure of recruiting, it was like they couldn't even function sometimes in games because of the pressure was so high and trying to be seen. So in some individual play, and as coaches, we just kept reiterating, you look better when you show up as a team. And but the pressure can be really high. So I think anyone listening, I just feel like just always praying about and continuing to have like moments where you're breathing and just, positive self-talk before you go into it, and trying to rely on your teammates. You've been working with them for so many years that they're gonna help you shine and help you look good in those moments. But don't forget that, right? So thanks for sharing all of that. That all kind of comes to head. So take me back, your injury. So it was junior year. For those of you that don't know, Tatum is my niece. And so I actually think I was there at that game. Was it at Goucher?
It was no, that was an ankle, but it was at Mercy. Yeah,
Okay.
any injuries?
That was an ankle sprain, I think.
Yeah,
Okay, so take me back to the injury.
right. So sports have always been a big thing in my life. I played soccer growing up, and then I played volleyball, basketball, lacrosse in high school. I swam in the summer, so sports have always been a big thing. Injuries have always been like brushed off the shelf and worked and rehabbed on. But it was my senior year basketball season. We were playing Mercy, and it was one of our last games of like our regular season. It was like our second to last or third to last, and it was about three quarters of the way out of the game, and I'm jumping up for a rebound, go up for it, come back down with it. Another girl lands on my knee and pop, and obviously I fell to the ground and knew that something wasn't right. I have been having knee problems before that with the same knee. Come to find out, I partially tore it a few months before actually tearing it in that basketball game. But then I went to get an MRI, and then about 2 weeks later, they're like, yeah, it's torn. So that was fun to hear, obviously, senior year. But I was already recruited to go to Coastal Carolina, and we had our official visit set up in January. I tore my ACL at the end of December. So I decided with my coach at Coastal Carolina to kind of push off my surgery for a month and a half and get it done after our official visit, so I could walk around with the team and be active instead of hobbling around on crutches. And so I pushed that surgery off. I got it done in January, the very end of January, January 31st of 2020. And then obviously, 2 months later, 3 months later, COVID happens. And so, as I'm like freshly being able to walk and being able to function, everything shuts down, and my PT place wasn't allowing in-person visits. And we were doing online rehab for a little bit, but obviously, with the lack of equipment here, I kind of it stunted my growth with my recovery process. And that was for about like a month of doing online. I ended up getting back into the PT place with masks and fully rehabbing, but I was obviously behind on the process. So that really struggled. I really struggled with my physical health, but my mental health at the time too, of being at home, stuck at home, and not being able to go out and jog and physically recover from this almost career-ending injury for me, it seems like. So that was a real struggle, but we ended up getting there. Then I go to Coastal Carolina and I am rehabbing with their PT. And I definitely went in a little bit earlier. So the recovery process for an ACL is 8 months to a year. And I kind of jumped in. I was just wanting to be back on the field again. You know, I missed my senior year lacrosse season, and that was because of COVID, but I missed that and I haven't really played since the summer, and I was just wanting to be back on the field. So I rushed into it a little bit more, which obviously wasn't great. But I think I went into practice 7 or 8 months freshly out. And that definitely didn't help because I just had constant knee problems. But yeah.
Well, and forgive me, I said junior year. So yes, it was your ACL tear was senior year.
Yeah.
So, you know, as you just said, you were rehabbing your senior year summer before you went into Coastal. And then COVID hit before you actually left for Coastal. Is that correct?
Yes, yep.
So explain like how the pro like when you're, you know, you get to Coastal, it's you're in the middle of the pandemic, you're recovering. You know, I think of your situation as like this perfect storm of, oh my goodness, so much happening at once. You know, through the process, you know, your coach was released. Was it your sophomore year of misconduct? Like misconduct.
After my freshman year, yeah.
Yeah, so you had that going on, you know, with coaching staff, you know, coaching, then you had COVID. And so you get there on campus. What was your experience like? I do remember my heart was so heavy for athletes because of like they were getting tested like three,
Every
was
other
it?
day, yeah.
Yeah, so explain all that. Like, picture yourself there. Like, what is the, like, what was the day in the life there? Like,
Right. So it was a little less strict down in South Carolina, the COVID restrictions. I mean, normal students were kind of out and about going out and hanging out with their friends. But obviously, as an athlete, having to be tested every other day, getting there in the off season, we weren't allowed to see anybody. I mean, we had a quad in our dorm, so I had three other lacrosse roommates, and I wasn't really allowed to see anybody outside of them. We weren't allowed to go out and get food. We weren't allowed to go to the mall, go shopping, stuff like that. At first, it was very, very restrictive. I think we were allowed to go through a drive-through with our mask on, you know, but we weren't allowed to socialize with anyone else. I mean, unless we said hi in passing outside, that was just about it. We were being tested every other day, obviously, and I was still going to rehab in the off season and trying to rebuild my strength in my leg. But other than that, we put our head down, went to practice, came back, took online classes, went back out for, I don't know, like strength and conditioning, and then came back home. And that was a rinse and repeat every single day. So I was either out on the field with my team or in the workout room, or I was at home in my room. And that was just about it. That was all we could do. We weren't allowed to socialize. Of course, we kind of found ways around it and had like team gatherings outside and stuff like that. But other than that, it was just home and practice, home, practice, home, practice.
and testing.
And testing in the middle of all of that.
So, I mean, and me and added on all of that, you know, everything's brand new,
Right.
right? Like brand new friends, brand new team, brand new coach. And so all of that is weighing into this situation, I'm sure. And I definitely remember Tatum praying for you at that time because it just felt so hard and alone. And I know we were all feeling that across the world, you know, and this pandemic, because we were isolated in a lot of situations. But being young, alone, recovering, you know, I just feel like that can be, you know, like your first experience of all that, you know, you're leaving home. I guess that's where it kind of leads me here. Where were you mentally and emotionally through it all?
Yeah, so going back to my my senior year of high school, I was so excited. You know, I'm finally getting to experience all the things that I've waited for, like from my freshman year. I'm excited for prom, excited for graduation, excited for my senior sports and being recognized for being a 12 season athlete. And then all of that was kind of taken away from me, you know? I mean, I was already, after I figured out that I tore my ACL in December before lacrosse season, I was already upset because junior year season, my lacrosse team went to states, and that was kind of unheard of in my generation of Lac Raven, of going to states. And obviously we lost, but getting ready to go back and like have a redemption shot and trying to win states this time, I was already kind of disheartened because I tore my ACL and I wasn't able to play. And so like that stunk, of course, but then COVID hits and everything shuts down. And so it really took a toll on my mental and obviously my physical of not being able to go outside and work out, kind of just sitting at home and rotting with my bum knee, you know. It really just it took a toll on my mental. I definitely lost myself. I wasn't doing well because I kind of put my identity in being an athlete and all of that being taken away from me, and then my social being taken away from me, and friends and family is a huge thing in my life. And I wasn't able to go and hang out with my friends, and I wasn't able to have my prom and my graduation, and my senior week kind of was a lot different than it should have been, you know? So it would already took a toll on my mental health, but then going to Coastal and not getting able to live out what I thought was going to be a perfect, ideal world for me. You know, I committed to a place down in Myrtle Beach that was 15 minutes away from the beach with palm trees everywhere and a huge social atmosphere, and seeing all the other like normal students kind of living out that dream and going to parties, you know, and going to the beach and getting to make friends, and me kind of watching from my bedroom window as that is all going around. It was just obviously not ideal. It's not what I had in mind, obviously. But it was just hard. It definitely took a toll on my mental, and being injured and not being able to practice and not being able to make those social bonds with my teammates as much, because I'm in the weight room like strengthening my knee while everybody's out at practice, like hanging out, chit-chatting in the locker room and stuff. I'm like rehabbing with another two girls. So I've really struggled mentally, obviously. And that definitely made an easier decision for me my sophomore year when I got that fifth concussion of like, this was never for me. You know, this path that I went on was never ideal. It was never what I had in mind. So it wasn't too much of being taken away when I got a concussion, because I never got to experience it. Although I did lose that identity of like being an athlete my whole life. When like teachers asked me to describe myself in three words, athlete was always the first one I said. And so when that concussion hit and that sports identity being taken away from me, I went through a crisis, and that was another strain on my mental. You know, most athletes know when their last game is going to be, and they know leading up to that, like, this is going to be my last game if we lose. I never had that. I kind of got cut right in the middle unexpectedly. So that definitely didn't help either, of having a dream when I was 10 years old wanting to play Division I lacrosse. It was kind of hard to leave that so abruptly.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Well,
Yeah.
here you are. You know, this is a dark place in your life, I would assume. As most people going through stuff like this, you know, I feel like God has us in a season, even though it can be dark for a period of time for a reason. At this time, Tatum, what are the voices around you saying to you? Could you hear them? What did you hear the most? You know.
Not that I heard physical disappointment, but it was kind of, it felt, I was more disappointed in myself. So I was externalizing and overthinking everybody else's reaction towards me. Like, what is everybody going to think when I come home from school? Like, I don't want to be a disappointment. Like, I wanted to grow in my lacrosse career. I wanted to finish it out. I wanted to achieve those dreams that not only I had for myself, but my family had for myself, my coaches had for myself, my teammates had for me. So I didn't want to be a disappointment. And obviously I put myself first and I made that hard decision to come home, but it was always hard to overthink or not to overthink what others were thinking of me, you know? And so that was hard. And obviously my parents were very supportive of me and helped like a lot with me coming home, and they gave me my room back, and they helped me out physically or mentally as well as physically, like pushing me to go out and, find like other ways to get active instead of just kind of sitting at home and going to school back and forth. So there were no real voices that were there other than my own kind of overpowered everybody else's. And it was definitely hard to come home and be in the same house and have the same friends and be in the same neighborhood as high school, especially after like living on your own for 2 years and then coming right back. It kind of felt like a backtrack. But there was definitely a bunch of people that were encouraging about it and that understood that I had a very hard time in college. And although it was 2 years, it was hard, But the voices were helping, and I definitely lost. I didn't lose, but I definitely had a strain in my relationship with God of like, why did this happen to me? And obviously that's one thing that's hard, and it kind of put a strain on my relationship with him. I wasn't praying as often. I wasn't going to church. I wasn't seeking out his word. I would kind of took victim. I played the victim role of like, why did this happen? Like, so yeah, it was definitely something that I was struggling with for a long time.
Well, I feel like this again is so human. Like all the voices that were, we can be our worst critics, and when we're left alone in isolation of COVID, and you spend a lot of time alone, those voices can get louder and bigger. And then the whole idea of, just becoming a vi we become victims, and what we do know about God is that we're always victors in Him because of what He did on that cross for us. That, our story, your story, even as dark as it can get, that He can redeem. And so I do want to talk a little bit about that, but the fact that God is a God of renewal, restoration, rebuilding, victory. And so I think along that way, when you have a core family and people around you that even though maybe you may not know at the time, but people are praying for you and believing for you, and then God starts to move. So how did you rebuild your relationship with the game? Like how did, because I know obviously if it's taken away and you have this career ending thing and you're like, why me? Like it gets dark. And so, how did you begin to rebuild your relationship with lacrosse and just kind of come out of that place?
Yeah, so actually, it was probably about a year after being home, transferring to Towson. I was actually attending your daughter and my sister's basketball game, and I was just there trying to have fun. And obviously, your family's there and my family's there. It was NDP versus Maryville, so it was a big game. And I think that the 28th needed an extra coach. And at this time, your husband, my uncle, has kind of been pushing a little birdie in my ear of like, hey, why don't you coach? And I was like, yeah, that'd be so fun. But at that game, he was like, hey, like you should coach with me for the 28s at FCA. And I was like, yeah, I'd love to. And I know I wasn't being like 100% like fully serious, but Uncle Eamon McCormick kind of took my word, and he led me to it. He made me stick on my word. He signed me up, and that was that. And so being involved again, and that was in the December. And so I kind of like next month I was at practices and I was at scrimmages, and it really helped me because it forced me to not only go back into the sport, but it forced me to get out of the house and start to care about something again when I was struggling mentally. And so he was definitely a huge factor, Uncle Eamon. It was a huge factor of pushing me back into the love for the sport and helping me get involved and helping my mental and help me find my identity again through Christ. Like, I was always, like I said, I was a victim and I lost that relationship and I lost my identity, but like regaining it through SCA has been huge. And the girls on my team, I can't be grateful for them enough because they've just helped me find a love for this game again. And obviously I'm not out there playing it, but I'm kind of living through them a little bit and getting to experience the joy that they're experiencing when I was experiencing it, Watching them fall in love with the sport in a different way than I did is so heartfelt for me because it kind of gets me happy again about the sport and makes me fall in love with the sport all over again. And so FCA has been a huge help for me to find myself again and find my relationship with God again. And it's been a really big help of being there.
Well, I know the girls have been hugely impacted by you, and I'll chat about that in a sec. But I think we've been so blessed. I know Eamon has said that you really have an ability to coach, and the girls listen to you. And you could think about it as a career down the road, really. But I think that's the idea: is sports are so much more about, not necessarily making them our identity, but like the community to which it puts us in. And that right now you're in a role where you can pour into these kids. You can take all the knowledge you've learned since you were that 5-year-old girl playing with your sister and your mom on that field, and the love and the care and the time that you put into it. And now, it brings me to tears that you can actually gift that to the next generation and utilize that. And that's the victory of God, that all those tough things happened to you, formed you, made you hard pressed on every side, but not abandoned, not struck down. I mean, that's scripture. Like, God will redeem. And these kids adore you, Tatum, love you. Tatum's been able to be a huddle leader for our retreat. She's gone out to Vail to help coach our teams out there. And just recently was able to be a sponsor for confirmation for one of our athletes who just, has been impacted by Tatum. Tatum, just kind of wrapping up, now looking back, where do you see yourself, and what would you say to young athletes facing injury and difficult times or obstacles?
Sports are not forever. There's always an end to sports. There's always, I mean, unless you're going professional, which is really hard to do, like, sports is not your life. And although it seems like it, that is your identity for so long, it's not who you are. It can be an adjective of who you are and a description of who you are, but it's not you. And it's really hard, especially with injuries, of like not forgetting that and forgetting that. Sports is not the end all be all. There's always going to be an end to sports, and although it seems like a career, it's a hobby. It's something that gets you out and something that gets you going. It's a game, and it's not forever. And realizing that is definitely hard because it is your whole world growing up. But injuries, especially, it takes away. But it's just hard to realize that sports is not your life, and God is always going to be there. Sports won't. And so finding that identity through him was something that I really struggled with. And it would be great if this podcast could help someone realize that God is morally your identity, but sports is not the end all be all. And I can't stress that enough because one day it is going to stop and then you have to figure it out from there. And a lot of athletes, even if they do all 4 years of their collegiate career, like, they have an identity crisis right after too, and then jumping into the real world. So even after all of that, like, it's hard, but there's other ways to, help your growth and help your actual careers,
Amen. I mean, I think I said it in the beginning that your journey, your story is about resilience and like not, like getting through something very difficult. And humility, because you lose that sense of what you thought was your identity, and God's like trying to rebuild it. He's like, no, I am your identity, and I say who you are. And sports and being an athlete is such a gift that we can receive. And then the perseverance of just kind of, waking up every day, showing up. I think all those things, even as hard as those dark times were, Tatum, that he's shown you in life that you can persevere and you can be resilient. And, it's a great, great thing to be humble, humble person. I just have some, I'm gonna wear my glasses for this, but so you were a confirmation sponsor to one of our athletes, Elizabeth, and I just had her mom kind of just say something. I just said, how has Tatum's impact been on your family? And so I just wanted to read that because I feel like you should hear it, and others listening should hear it. Tatum has been an amazing impact on our daughter, both on and off the field, in ways we can't imagine. When we first started FCA, we knew there was a faith component that was a foundation to the lacrosse club, and it was one of the attributes that attracted us from the very beginning. Our daughter has not only grown in her love for lacrosse, but her love for Jesus Christ through the coach's influence, especially Tatum. Tatum has worked with our daughter both on and off the field and developed such a trusting and caring relationship with her that she asked Tatum to be her sponsor for confirmation. Tatum is not only influencing our daughter's lacrosse skills, but more importantly, she is helping her to develop into a well-rounded young lady who keeps Christ at the center of her life. Our daughter shared, from the start, Tatum has been a wonderful role model for me. I've learned so much from her in coaching sessions she hosts before practice on her own time and off the field. I can always go to her for advice. I am grateful for her in my life. So I had to read that to you, and just how again, what an impact we can have even after we go through some really tough times in our life, and never to forget that.
Yeah,
Well,
it's
Tatum,
awesome.
yeah, I will give that to you. But thank you so much for being on today and sharing your story. And again, if anybody wants to reach out to Tatum, I'll put her hand, we'll attach her handle into the podcast when we promote it on Instagram. But thank you so much for being
Thank
here.
you for having me.